Thank you all. I'm so excited for the opportunity to introduce tonight's testimony. Debbie Williams has attended Grace Bible Church for 41 years, and her husband John has been on staff for 37 years. She and John have been married for 46 years. They have three lovely daughters, Amy, Beth, and Lisa, who are all walking with the Lord. Each of their daughters has a wonderful, talented husband, and John and Debbie have 11 grandchildren. Debbie is very involved in ministry at Grace. She sings in the choir and serves in the nursery. She is involved in the New Partners Discipleship Ministry, and she has been a key part of WOW for many years. Tonight, we will have the privilege of hearing her testimony. Debbie is a wise woman with a sweet love for the Lord. She's devoted to God's word and is faithful to apply what it says so that she continues to grow in Christ-likeness as she walks with the Lord. As you hear what God has done and is doing in her life, I know you will be encouraged and that God will be glorified. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you so much for Debbie and her willingness to share her testimony with us tonight. I thank you for the work that she's put in to prepare it. And we thank you most of all for the work that you've done in her life. I thank you that we can share in that with her as she shares her testimony with us. I pray that you would use her life to put your gospel on display as we listen to her. I pray that you would calm any nerves that she has and that you would remove any distractions from our minds so that we can listen and benefit and praise you for what you've done in Debbie's life. In Jesus' name, amen.
So the last two Sunday sermons in 2 Timothy 1 have been such a huge help to me these last couple weeks. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of love, power, and a rational mind. So here we go. Thanks for praying for me. Okay, I was born in 1955, I'm old, in Wichita, Kansas. I'm the oldest of four. I have a brother and two sisters. There was one set of grandparents and an assortment of aunts and uncles and cousins that lived near us. But to my knowledge, there were no believers among them, including my parents. My mother would, a couple times a year, usually Christmas and Easter, take us kids to a church she had been taken to as a child. It was a church whose teaching was not biblical, and some of its practices were outright sinful and abusive. I'm grateful to the Lord that I was not taken there often enough to have been influenced much by it. But the impact on my mother's life, growing up in a hurtful, unbelieving home, was confusion, guilt, and resentment. My parents' marriage was a troubled one, and their unresolved conflicts and my mom's turmoil produced much fear and pain in my young life. Some of my earliest memories are being absolutely terrified at times when I didn't know what they might do. I didn't know it then, but God is sovereign. He was in control, orchestrating all the details of my life for my good, and nothing escaped his notice. When I was about 10, we began attending a different church more regularly at the invitation of a friend of my mom's. And this church had a children's ministry, and we looked forward to being there, but it was there we were wrongly taught that there were five steps to salvation, one being that you had to be baptized in order to be saved. Well, I felt guilt over things I did that I knew were wrong, and I wanted to fix that, so I was baptized, but it was not genuine faith. I thought it was something I could do to make myself right with God. During this time, I remember being very aware that I just could not sin. But I didn't repent, I didn't cry to God for forgiveness, I didn't understand the gospel, I just tried to do what I thought I was supposed to do. But even that didn't last long. We moved to the Northwest when I was almost 12, and by the time I was 14 in ninth grade, I was living a young teen life of complete foolishness. Always wanting to be accepted by whatever girls I was hanging around with, I would lie to my parents, sneak out of the house to go meet whatever boy I thought liked me, cheated at school, and had started actually going to drinking parties some older kids that kind of drew us into that. So forget about the guilt I had felt a few years earlier. I was just going to live it up, I thought. I was never caught in any of that, so my parents never knew the things I was involved in. But God, of course, knew, and He was in control and about to intervene in my life. My mom decided we should start going to church again. And this is just amazing to me that God directed my unsaved mother to just the right church. She had no way of knowing how to choose a good church. But God was in control, and He orchestrated every detail that led us to walk into a church that did teach the Bible and clearly proclaim the gospel. I didn't want to go, but I was given no choice. So I was there, not only on Sundays, but also at the youth group. I heard the pastor teach the Bible verse by verse, and little by little, as I was exposed to the teaching of the Word, the Holy Spirit began to convict me about the sin in my life. I began to recognize that just about everything I did and thought was sinful. Someone had given me a New Testament, and one day after school, I started reading it. The fact that I picked up that Bible and began to read it can only be explained by the sovereignty of God, because I still had no interest in God or the Bible. But once I began to read it, I couldn't put it down. I read it every day after school for weeks, mainly reading through the four Gospels, and I was strangely drawn to it. I remember thinking, this is weird. But I remember especially being struck by Matthew 20:28, where Jesus said He did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many. I had no idea what that meant at that time, but God was in control, using His word to draw me to Himself. One night, at a youth group event, one of the leaders again explained the gospel. By now, I'd heard it several times. I'd seen the peace and joy in the believers around me. I was listening. My best friend, also unsaved, had gone with me that night and came home with me to spend the night. So when we got home, we were talking about what we'd heard. And I said to her, "Surely God knows we can't be perfect." Well, 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, "For God, who said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness,' is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." God did that in my heart. As those words I said to my friend were coming out of my mouth, it was as if a light came on and I suddenly understood. I am completely sinful. There is no way I could ever be good enough to be right with God. Now I understood the significance of Christ's death on the cross. Jesus took the punishment I deserved for my sin when He died on the cross. He made it possible for me to be forgiven and be right with God and to go to heaven. He had given His perfect life as a ransom for me. I laid in my sleeping bag in the dark on my bedroom floor thinking about this and silently prayed to the Lord, asking His forgiveness and thanking Him for what Christ did for me. I remember peace filling my heart and mind, knowing I was forgiven and I could draw near to Him. And my friend had no idea what happened in that night. I'm so grateful to God for His love and grace and mercy. It was all His doing. Only God can open our eyes to the truth and save us. Ephesians 2:1-10. I want to read this whole passage. "As you were dead, and you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Well, the next morning, I was a different person inside. My friend and I had lied to our parents the day before about our plans for the day, but now I had no desire to go through with it, and I didn't. My friend went without me. And that was the beginning of huge changes in my life because of Christ. Titus 2:11 and 12 says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age." No one needed to tell me I should no longer do the things I had been doing. I had no desire to keep doing those things. God gave me a new heart with new desires. The rest of my high school years were great times of spiritual growth. I loved the Lord, His Word, and my church. I couldn't get enough of it. One by one, my friends at school moved on from me because I no longer did the things they did, and in their opinion, I had become a religious nut. They actually said that. God gave me many opportunities to grow and serve and new friendships in the church family. Our pastor taught us the Word, and our youth leaders were godly examples to follow. One of them taught me how to study the Bible, sitting down with me and showing me how to study the Bible in context, how to dig in, how to use good resources. And I had so much to learn. Our church had a youth choir, and even though I'd never been in a choir before or had any interest in music, I joined it and I loved it. Our director didn't coddle us, but challenged us with difficult pieces and taught us vocal techniques and some music theory. He expected us to work at a high level to honor the Lord in our singing. The music helped to fill my mind with truth and brought me so much joy. And I didn't know it at the time, but it was also a wonderful preparation for my future. God in control of all the details of my life. Oops, I think I keep bumping that. One of the youth leaders encouraged me to consider a Bible college after graduation. I couldn't wait to do that and began to plan to go to a school in Portland. God worked in my parents' hearts to be willing to let me go and even make the financial arrangements. The Lord gave me a godly, sweet roommate who became a dear friend. And I couldn't believe I had the opportunity to study the Bible in college. Just absolutely loved it. Well, one of the student events organized that fall was Outreach Day, where teams of students were strategically sent out to canvas areas of the city of Portland with tracts looking for opportunities to share the gospel. Teams would be organized in pairs, a guy with a girl, for safety, and so that if we had a conversation with a man, the guy would start the conversation, and if with a woman, the girl would start the conversation. Well, as the Lord would have it, my team leader paired me up with a guy named John Williams. Though we were in some classes together, I had not met him until then. I enjoyed getting acquainted with him that day, but was not interested in him as much as I was the Bible school in England. He told me all about his watching in the neighborhoods. But John persistently pursued me, and by Christmas break, we were dating. He lived at home and commuted to school, which gave me the opportunity to get to know his family, who are all serving the Lord, and to be part of their church. I completed 2 years of college, and John and I were engaged. I returned home for a year to work and save money for our wedding, while John lived at home in Portland and completed another year of school. We were married in June 1976 at my home church and made our first home in the Portland area where John had a good job. A year later, we moved to Alaska to spend 1 year on staff at Victory Bible Camp, a ministry we had heard about when we were students. Our daughter Amy was born in Alaska during our year there. And at the end of that year, we moved to Everett because of a job possibility for John and settled into family life. A year later, our second daughter, Beth, was born. The The following year, John was hired at Boeing. We bought a house in Marysville. And a few months later, our third daughter, Lisa, was added to our family. I wish I could say that my walk with the Lord had continued to grow stronger during that season of my life. But reality is that somewhere in the process of getting married and having babies, my focus had shifted. Though outwardly I continued to do the right things, my heart was dull and disobedient because I was not in the Word as I should have been. But God was in control, and He is faithful and good to correct us when we need it. He wisely allowed a difficult trial in my life that drove me back to Him and helped me see how desperately I needed His Word. The trial came in the form of my parents' divorce, something that I had feared all my life. There was so much confusion and heartache and devastation, and it washed all over me, all over all of us, that I realized then how far I had drifted from the Lord and that I had no answers to what was going on with my parents. I was not prepared to think rightly about it or respond rightly to it. It was during this time that God led us to Grace Bible Church. And what a breath of fresh air. Pastor Marzoff and Jeannie helped us by their example and teaching. Nancy Peters reached out to me, talking with me about what I was going through with my parents, encouraging me to submit to my husband in the situation rather than fear my mom. She invited me to the women's Bible study. She encouraged me to be in the Word daily. She would even call me early in the morning, right after John would leave for work, to help me go to the Word and pray instead of going back to sleep before my little girls would wake up. The teaching of the Word, godly examples, and accountability were all used by God to strengthen us and help us grow. We both joined the choir and participated in everything we could with our little family. Pastor Marzoff took John under his wing, and it was about 4 years later he asked John to join the church staff. Our girls were 4, 6, and 8 at that time. That was 37 years ago, and John and I are still so thankful for our church, the huge impact it had on our girls growing up and continues to have on us. I'm so grateful that God saved me as a teenager and drastically changed my life. But as you all know, that was not the end of dealing with sin in my life. God is committed to our sanctification, teaching us, reproving us, correcting us, training us in righteousness, to conform us to the image of Christ. As our loving and wise Father, He disciplines us for our good that we may share His holiness, as Hebrews 12:10. I've needed lots of discipline over these many years since I was saved, and He has been faithful to bring just the right circumstances that have opened my eyes to my sinful thoughts, attitudes, and responses. A big one for me for far too many years was sinful anger. A deep anger, I think, was originally a sinful reaction to the fear and pain I experienced as a child. I never expressed that anger to my parents because of my fear of my mom. But as an adult, anger has been my sinful reaction when I felt fearful or hurt, especially. I had to face my pride and unbelief in the attempt to be in control of my life to protect myself from hurt, instead of trusting God, who actually is in control. I had to acknowledge that God had orchestrated the details of my life and made no mistake when He gave me the parents He gave me. He helped me to forgive them and see them with compassion in their spiritual blindness and inability to escape their sin, and begin to appreciate the things they did do right and the level of care they gave me. God continued to expose my anger until I was truly broken over it. I often felt overwhelmed, sometimes really to despairing at the ugliness of my own sinful heart and my inability to be the godly woman I wanted to be and knew God wanted me to be. Real change began when I realized from failure after failure to control my anger that I would not and could not overcome my sin and my own willpower. Only the Holy Spirit could enable me to respond as I ought. I learned that as a believer, I could choose to say no to sin and yes to the Holy Spirit, and He would be faithful to help me. Romans 6, 7, and 8 became like a lifeline to me, helping me to understand that I'm either setting my mind on the things of the flesh or setting my mind on the things of the spirit. I saw how much I need his word to provide me with the right thoughts and attitudes that would produce righteousness and joy in my life. Spiritual growth is not improving self, it's dying to self and walking by the Spirit, so you will not carry out the desires of the flesh, Galatians 5:16. And verse 24 says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Through that time, God also used the godly example of my husband. John always responded to my sin with an open-hearted love and an eagerness to forgive. He patiently endured angry and unsubmissive words from me. He prayed for me, and he trusted God to do his work in me. And he's never once reminded me of past sins. God had given me just the right husband before I knew just how much I would need his love and example. God in control of all the details of my life. I praise the Lord that old anger no longer dominates me. When I'm tempted by it, the Holy Spirit is faithful to warn me and helps me rely on him to think biblically and respond rightly rather than react in the flesh. I would rather be in a place of giving joyful thanks to God for his leading me in righteousness than having to go through the grief of confession and repentance. That is very motivating. In more recent years, a big challenge for me has been learning to be content with all three of our daughters and their hubbies and our 11 grandkids living far away from us, all out of state. It's something I never anticipated. I assumed we would someday have grandkids nearby, at least some, if not all, right? In their early years, it seemed to me that the future was long and we couldn't know how God might direct our paths. But the realization came to me as the older grandkids entered high school and our sons-in-law progressed in their ministries and their work that this is not a temporary situation. All my emotions about our family would be just below the surface and quickly bubble up when I would hear other grandmothers talk about the joys of having their grandkids in their homes, having all the kids' favorite foods and activities at the ready, being able to jump in at a moment's notice to help their family. And sometimes someone would mention to me something like, she could just never have her kids far away. She just couldn't do that. As if to say, I must prefer it. I long to be with my daughters. I miss them terribly. I love my grandkids and I want to be involved in their lives and have a spiritual influence on them. But the Lord brought across my path a letter from one of our missionaries, Paul and Bella Gervasi, a couple we've known since they and we had young children, and they were just starting their ministry in Indonesia. Paul wrote of the pain they felt upon returning to the field alone after spending several months at home with their kids and grandkids. I immediately related to that pain and my eyes filled with tears. Then he added in his letter, I know some folks think that missionaries must be different to be able to do what we do, but all we really are is willing to do what God wants us to do. I was so impacted by that. I read across the top of it, still in my Bible. It's about being willing to do God's will, whatever it is. This has been a wonderfully freeing thought to me, and it really is just that simple, joyful submission to God's will. As the hymn writer said, to lose my will in thine. God is in control and is orchestrating the details of our lives for our good and his glory. He is not withholding anything from me that I need. Sometimes we have sinful desires and we're willing to sin to get it, like being angry. Sometimes we want something that's good and right, but we want it so badly we're willing to sin if we don't get it. Self-pity, discontentment, complaining, questioning God, seeing ourselves as victims of our circumstances. I've been in that miserable place too, but God has changed my heart about this, and he gives me contentment as I choose not to dwell on my longing to be near a family, but to let it turn me to Him to satisfy all my longings. When I feel lonely for our family, it reminds me that only Christ truly satisfies and fills our hearts. I may not be able to jump in at a moment's notice to help our family, not even one of them, but I can pray. I think my most important ministry to our family is to pray daily for them, and I do. I don't have to be reminded to do that. I'm not with them, but God is, and I'm eager to pray for each one of them individually. It gives me so much joy when one of them tells me how God has worked in their hearts or in their circumstances, and I know God has answered my prayers for them. How can I not be grateful and joyful in the fact that He's working in their lives and they are loving and serving God where He has them? I still have so far to go to spiritual maturity, the selfishness, the pride, the love of my own comfort. I need to grow in wisdom. But God is faithful, and I have the Holy Spirit and the Word and the promise of His keeping me and making me more and more Christ-like until the day I see Him and I'm instantly changed. I'm safe in His hands and loved more than I can comprehend. I want to close reading Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to His power that works within us. To Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you so much, Debbie. I told you I would be blessed. Such a great example of growing in wisdom and love for the Lord by being devoted to His Word. Thank you so much, Debbie. I'm going to go ahead and close our time in prayer, and then we have about 15 minutes at 8:45. We'll regroup for some more fun times together. Anytime we hear the gospel or a testimony, we have the gospel on display. So I'm praying that if there's anyone here who has any questions about the gospel, any questions about their salvation, about where they stand with God, about anything that they've heard through Debbie's testimony or through any of the teaching, please don't hesitate to ask any of the small group leaders, any of us that are teaching. We'd all be willing to and eager to talk to you about any questions that you have. So don't hesitate to do that. Let me go ahead and close this time in prayer, and then we'll have a 15-minute break. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for this evening. Thank you so much for what you've done in Debbie's life. I thank you for her willingness to share with us what you've done, share with us how the process of sanctification has worked in her life, and for being willing to share some of the specific areas that you have grown her. We just thank you so much for the way we can clearly see that process of sanctification and growing in wisdom as she has studied and applied your word. Pray that you would bless her for her faithfulness to share with us tonight. I pray for any of the women here tonight, for all of us really, Lord, that through Denise's lesson and through Debbie's testimony, that we would be convicted, that we would be encouraged to take our fight against sin more seriously. I pray that if there's anyone that has any questions or needs any counsel, that they would seek that out. We just thank you so much that your word provides all we need for life and godliness. Thank you again for this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.